This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision.
Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to Making Biblical Family Life Practical. You know, I was amazed to find out that 1 out of 5 Americans deals with dyslexia. Did you know that number was that high?
No, I didn't. You know, that tells me there's a lot of families that are homeschooling that are dealing with learning situations.
Yeah.
They're dealing with special needs.
And, you know, and a lot of them, you know, a lot of them are things that are not, you know, everyday occurrences are things that you would know them unless you really knew the family inside and out. So there's a whole range of things that come under that category of special needs, from a learning disability to a gifted and talented student.
To people that are dealing with severe difficulties, like severe autism in their children, to special needs that are health needs in the child or the parent.
Right.
You know, in fact, we know some moms who are dyslexic.
Yes, and, yes, we do.
They have some struggles, too. And so we have some special guests tonight. And folks, let me tell you, these people are real. We have known them for years, and they are such an encouragement to us. They are living out the trials of the Christian faith in a godly, Christ-centered way. And I'm so excited to bring them to you. So let's welcome Chris and Heather Laurie. Welcome, guys.
Welcome, Mel. How?
Hello. It's nice to see you guys again.
And it's always good to talk with you too. I mean, we have met Chris and Heather at one conference after another, and they are always just the sweetest, most encouraging people to encounter. And yet they have serious health issues in their family, and they have some serious special needs situation in their homeschooling. And so we want to talk about, well, if that's your reality, how do you go about homeschooling? Because a lot of people would say, well, you've got to be a certified, trained professional instructor and teacher to even think about this kind of thing. But I think you would disagree, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I find that we have a genetic disease called mitochondrial disease, and it has caused autism in 4 of my children. And then through just good old-fashioned genetics, we have dyslexia in the house. And there is nobody out there who knows the ins and the outs of my children more than my husband and I do. And as we've gone along, we've made it our mission, it's our responsibility to learn the therapy tools that we need, or the curriculum, or how to adjust the curriculum, or when to ditch it. Chris and I really, this is part of homeschooling, is to get to know how your children learn, adapt it if necessary, and then bring it to the dining room table on Monday morning, and you get it done.
So now, how long have you been homeschooling?
We are graduating one this year.
Wow.
So technically 12 years, but we were really playing with it for a couple of years before that.
Yeah.
So have your kids ever been in the institutional school system?
No, they haven't.
It wasn't a good place. I don't think Chris had a great experience there. Do you want to tell him?
No, I was fairly gifted as a child, and I actually felt that the school system kind of left me bored for the most part, and so I got in trouble and I got behind by doing other things that I shouldn't be doing, and I wanted my children to have a love for learning. I wanted them to realize that learning is a part of your everyday life. You're always learning. And I wanted them to keep that passion for learning that I had lost.
Wow.
You know, that's really similar to our story. We were both bored out of our skulls in school and hated it. And we wanted our children to love learning, to love, you know, to have an interest in academics and to be able to move at their own pace. You know, at that time, we knew we had a precocious child. That would need some extra help in that side. We didn't know we would also have one that was severely dyslexic. But when we found out about his dyslexia, I was doubly encouraged in our homeschooling because I saw what happened to my brother. in the schools, and it was not pretty.
Yeah, the day that we found out, we actually went to a neurologist when we only had three at the time. So we have five children total, and four of them have autism. Mm. We only had three at the time, and two of them went to the neurologist with me, and they were both diagnosed with autism on the same day.
Ow.
And yeah, it was a tough day. So we're getting that diagnosis, and we're beginning to understand the world as we thought it was going to be, just shifted. And the first question we get asked is, so are you really going to keep homeschooling? And Chris and I never hesitated. You're just like you said, when you got the diagnosis and you realized the struggle that your children were going to have to face along with naturally learning in an intense environment, there was no doubt we were going to continue homeschooling. And then as the problems piled, it just reaffirmed and reaffirmed and reaffirmed our conviction that homeschooling a special needs child is really the absolute best way.
Wow. Well, you know, you mentioned autism. Now, that's something you hear more and more about, but unless you have known a family that has someone in the autism spectrum, you may not realize just, you know, what does daily life look like? Can you kind of briefly describe what it's like being a parent with an autistic child?
Well, autism, real quickly, is more a communication disorder. There's a disorder of communication. There is generally some sort of repetitive behaviors going on. Mm-hmm. And there is also a more rigid black and white thinking.
They have a real hard time with grays and the in-between. So things are either one way or they're the other. There's no, they have a hard time blending.
Such as an inference of we're changing the season now. And you would look out the window, you would see that, like up here in West Virginia, we've now lost our leaves and it's chilly out. And you can look out and my mind tells me it's chilly. I need a light jacket. But to infer, to make that step, can be very difficult for some of our children with autism. So I think our day as a homeschooler, it's we keep a routine. We year-round homeschool.
Schedule is one of the main things we use to keep our autistic children happy with life.
Mm-hmm. They want that, like we talked, the black and white thinking. They want to know that education and learning is going to happen from 9 till 3. And then on weekdays, we have one off day and a church day. And then we go back to the routine again. And we are not strict scheduled, but we do keep a very firm structure, and that helps our homeschooling move along efficiently.
It keeps down on the meltdowns and the fighting back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, well, tell me now, we are just going through the seasonal time change at the time we're doing this interview. Is that a traumatic event in your household?
Oh, trauma. Yes. In fact, today's
our littlest one had a real hard time. She's very specific about her bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
I told her that she needs to start getting ready at 7 and that her bedtime is 7:30. Well, she got it into her head that her bedtime was at exactly 7:30. So 7:29 wasn't good enough. 7:31 was too late. She had missed it. 7:30 was it.
And unfortunately, with the sun now obviously
changing, yeah, outside, it's harder for her to understand, you know.
Let's just say today's homeschooling, as we were teaching how to measure lines and segments with a ruler, was difficult. Yeah, but we all got
it. It was more trying than it normally is.
Okay.
I like to say we got through it with no permanent marker on the wall and no hair chopped off on the ground. So I'm thrilled.
Wow.
Well, you know, it's been a little bit traumatic around here. People are hungry at the wrong times. They're tired at the wrong times. It's just, it's awkward. You know, it's difficult. You know, I think that's a good illustration of how just normal changes can become more complicated when you have special needs in the house.
absolutely. Transitions for many children, not just autistic children, children with sensory issues. Mm-hmm. If they went to a public school system, you would be getting them up at an unnatural time. You would be taking them to school. Then they'd have to leave. I mean, the transitions, each time you're moving from place to place is a transition. Each time you're making them eat or gather their books or get dressed or move from a classroom to a classroom is a transition. All of these are stressors. So can you imagine a young six-year-old who's just had a day full of stressors come home to a bag full of homework and maybe Awana? So instead of having fun and joy in an Awana class, they're just in the corner crying. They've had it. They have no more to give.
And you know, I think about something you said early on, and I think that's a real key thing to me, is a trained professional special educator doesn't know your child. They don't know the ins and outs of your child and and how things work best for your child and what things just don't work for your child. But you live with it every day, and you can adapt to that, and you know, you can make life as stable and as predictable as possible for a child that really so desperately depends on that routine. You know, and how can you say, well, you know, taking them for half the day to a class full of strange kids who have their own issues that are impinging on their stability, how is that ever going to be a better environment than at home?
You know, and honestly, some of the environments are really bad. A mom in our county finally decided to homeschool her child, who was autistic, after they were struggling to find out what was going on. He was literally awake all night long, every night. And it was a dangerous situation. The parents were having to stay up all night. And finally, the mother did a surprise visit at the school. And she found out that the school was dealing with her child by giving him a blanket and a pillow and putting him in a dark closet all day.
Oh, good gracious.
And so he was sleeping all day.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and so, especially for these kids who don't have a voice to tell you what's going on, it really scares me to put them under the care of people you don't know.
Precisely. In the research that I've done for my book, I believe I sent that to you, that I have had mothers telling me that their children came home with bruises that were adult-size hand bruises. Oh,
wow.
Now, I'm not saying every educator is like this, by no means, but particularly if you have a nonverbal child or a child who doesn't know how to communicate this to you and they're scared, how can they tell mommy and daddy, I need help when I go to these people who you keep telling me are okay?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, you know, some of the other challenges people face are the milder learning disabilities, where a child's got a learning glitch, and their, for example, reading was the one that we faced, reading and writing. We had a child who was super bright, clearly very intelligent, and yet I could not teach him to read for the longest time. He and I both cried buckets.
Well, I think that's probably typical of a lot of these issues, that it's not a matter of intelligence or potential or anything, but it's simply there's a communication problem, whether it's, you know, I can't communicate to this child to teach them, or that this child can't process written communication properly. So it's not that they can't think or that they can't reason or they can't learn, you know, with some adaptation there, but it's just that you have to find a way to get around this particular roadblock.
Well, you know, I have so valued homeschooling with Sam, because I was able to get him books on tape, on CD. I'm showing my age. Mm. I was able to get him books on CD. We were able to read him stuff aloud. I allowed him to dictate the things that he wrote. And we were able to keep him up to speed. And when he was finally, when his development caught up with it, when he was probably about 11, and he learned to read for himself, he was ready to just fly. And now he's a senior applying to colleges, and he's been awarded college scholarships this fall already. And I would not have thought that was possible when he was 10. And
outstanding. Your story is not uncommon at all, and it is so frustrating to homeschooling moms everywhere, myself included. where they sense something wrong, or they can see it, but they can't put their finger on it.
Mm-hmm.
A real quick three steps on learning disabilities is that it's a problem with getting information in. So that could be your ears, your eyes, some reason that you can't get the information in. The information getting filed away properly somewhere in your brain. And then the third is retrieving that information and being able to produce it usefully. And if you have a learning glitch somewhere in those three areas, there's a hiccup. And it could be a very mild hiccup that for years goes under the radar and then pops up when they hit middle school and division. Or it could be something that you notice straight from the very beginning in kindergarten when they're flipping their letters.
Okay. Now, one of the things that you talked about on your website is the teacher-to-student communication, you know, the parent-to-child, and some of the challenges that you faced in that regard. Again, it's not a matter of the thinking, it's a matter of connecting. And one of the things you talk about is eye contact. And you've got a fascinating story about a character that you call Mr. Eyebally. Can you tell us about tell us about Mr. Eyebally?
Mr. Eyebally was he was created out of sheer desperation. What I did is on my first finger, I drew a happy smiley face. And children with autism have great difficulty looking another person in the eye. If you think about it, most people do. If you've ever had to look a general in the eye, they have this steely glint gaze. But to an autistic child, often everyone has that steely glint gaze. And all I needed to do is I wanted my children to look at my face. It made it more socially acceptable for them over the long haul. So I was teaching a life skill. But it also let me know that they were focusing on me. Well, maybe they couldn't look me directly in the eye. They looked at Mr. Eyebally, and I kept him low and slowly moved my hand up until my hand was in front of my face. So they were looking at this cute little smiley face I wrote on my finger,
mm-hmm.
and began to understand that looking me in the face was not something that was aggressive or uncomfortable. It took time, but for several of the children, that was how I got a wonderful face-to-face contact with them.
Now, I have to say that I know your children, Heather, and I was kind of shocked when you told me that they had autism, because I didn't know that, and I had many conversations with them and interacted with them on different levels, because they look at you what apparently in the eyes, and they don't seem to have the same, you know, kind of immediate bad response to communication. And
yay, we won.
You did. Yeah.
Yeah, it has worked really well.
This is not a sprint, and don't try to make it a sprint. When you are teaching children who have everything from a learning glitch to autism to extremely complicated medical issues, it's a marathon, and
it's a long haul.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of time to work on things slowly but surely and to master skills, then move on. I always say mastery, not boredom. So once they've mastered the skill, then we move on. But if we haven't mastered the skill yet, it's not time to move on, guys.
Well, you know, that's something that Samuel actually pointed out today, our dyslexic son who's applying to college. He said, I'm realizing that really what you learn in elementary school can really be learned in just a couple of years. Because he said, most of that stuff I learned once I learned how to read. And that's what parents need to realize, is that a lot of elementary school is repetition and review and going over it again. And it may take your child a long time to get to the point that they can really interact with their education like you want them to. But at that point, they're going to have a more mature mind, and learning's going to come faster and easier.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Know, that we often tell parents that a 5-year-old who learns to read probably isn't going to learn to read like an adult till he's 13, and neither will an 11-year-old. An 11-year-old who learns to read at 11 will probably learn to read like an adult when he's 13. And so there's lots of time. There's lots of extra time built into the schedule. People don't need to panic.
Precisely. No reason to panic. You can also year-round homeschool, which gives you more cushion. For us, we have a lot of medical emergencies that tend to crop up, like last week was supposed to be a homeschooling week, but suddenly I needed a surgery. So out went the lesson plan. But since we homeschool all year round, I don't have to sit here and sweat about how are we going to make up that time. And so just continually chugging away, you know, we are always progressing. That's our goal. Are we progressing? If we're not progressing, okay, then let's stop. Let's reevaluate where we are, teacher in service day, and let's set some new goals and find out how we can get there.
You know, we had a year a few years ago where our eighth child was born with a congenital heart defect and spent the better part of a month in the ICU just in a total panic situation until they got her stabilized enough to come home. And that same year, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and went through chemotherapy, went through radiation. We did all of that. And, you know, our homeschooling kind of went out on its ear for quite a few months there. But, you know, looking back, we realized that when God took over the curriculum for a time and said, basically, don't look so much at all of the school books, look at the book that I gave you and live that out in front of your children. That's what I want them to be learning right now.
Absolutely.
And seeing that, you know, when you realize that when Jesus taught his disciples, when Jesus discipled the disciples, he lived in front of them. He didn't give them a textbook and a test on Friday and worksheets to fill out, but he lived through all of the situations in life and in ministry and the challenges that come up and said, now, do you understand why I did this? Do you understand what God is doing? Let me explain it. Now you go try it. And living these kind of challenges out with our kids is teaching them so much more than eye contact or phonics or any of the other things that are so important.
Yeah. You know, let's talk for a minute about some of the help that parents can get. Because I think that we've gotten this attitude so thoroughly that it takes a professional to educate a child, and especially a special needs child. But there's actually a lot of help out there for parents who want to take this on and take care of their kids on education. Heather, tell them about some of the things that you guys have put out there, like your website and the Facebook groups. I find them incredibly useful.
Yes, I do specialneedshomeschooling.com is our blog, and I've been blogging in one format or another, but all about special needs for almost a decade now, you know, back before when Facebook was a baby. So there is lots of information on there, and I try to upgrade it every time new research comes out. We want to stay on the front, but we're a very parent experiential group, and I have thousands of parents who are on either the private groups or on the main Facebook page that it is very common for someone to come along and say, I have to pull my fourth grader out, and my fourth grader has Down syndrome. Low tone hands, what are some of the best curriculum? So I will put that question out there, and we will get thousands of people who have the ability to add and to help uplift this family in need.
Oh, I think it's so useful. And, you know, with the holidays coming up, Heather, that can be a time of particular stress for special needs families, because whether your special need is health or autism or a learning glitch, there's so much change this time of year. Our decorations change, the whole world changes the way it looks, our schedules change, and it can be pretty stressful. Y'all are going to address that a couple of times soon with a webinar that people can sign up for. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, I'm doing a Happy Holidays with Your Sensory Intense Child. And you hit it the nail right on. There's so much changing. Think about walking into a store right now. There is music blaring, lights glaring, gifts all around screaming, buy me, buy me, buy me. And our children are having to navigate this world. They're getting this intense pressure if they watch any form of TV. The commercials are just pushing every button a child has. Then we want to just suddenly homeschool them. It can be very intense, or just want to get through the grocery store. So what, yeah, the grocery store is full of landmines this time of year. So I put together a webinar that we're going to have this Saturday at 8 o'clock that is for your sensory intense child, how to navigate things like the grocery store, how to go to grandma's house and deal with Aunt Betty who's sitting next to your child with strange perfume without making rude comments.
That's hard for all of us sometimes.
So, it is, but it can.
So that's November 7th.
November 7th is one.
At
and then
8 p.m. 8 p.m. or 8 a.m.?
8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. And then you're doing it again.
Exactly. It's popular enough, a topic, and Christmas is right around the corner, December 5th, again at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Now, where do they go to sign up?
We have a special needs homeschooling. Do you want to?
We have set up a store for on specialneedshomeschooling.com under store. You can go to the online webinars, and you can sign up there, and we'll send you a link.
Now, if you're interested, we also have MP3 workshops that we've done that are in the store as well, and it's growing. So
now I want to encourage you folks to go sign up for this if you are dreading the holidays, because I think Heather is going to hold your hands. Heather and Chris are going to give you ideas for how to do this practically and to make it through the season in a Christ-centered way, with everybody at peace. And I think it's like $39 and some change, and I think it is going to be well worth it. And I also think, too, I would feel good about spending that money because it goes to support the Laurie family and what they're doing. And what they're doing is so important because you provide hope and help and encouragement for a ton of families out there. Y'all check it out, specialneedshomeschooling.com and Special Needs Homeschooling on Facebook. And on Periscope, you are Special Needs Homeschooling as well, right, Heather?
Special Needs HS.
Okay, Special Needs HS on Periscope. Folks, check these people out. They're going to really be a blessing to you and help you and come alongside you and give you what you need to homeschool your kids. Hal, we are out of time, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And if you're just tuning in late, I wanted to say we've been talking with Chris and Heather Laurie of specialneedshomeschooling.com, and the ministry is fantastic. If you have a high need child, wherever that need may be, you definitely want to know the Lauries. And so, Chris, Heather, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you, Hal.
And we want to have them back because we didn't even talk about special needs parents, you know, and dealing with health issues in parents. So let's have them back sometime, Hal.
Let's do that another time. You think you can do that?
Absolutely.
Great. I'm going to catch you in Florida.
Oh, yes. And folks, Heather and Chris and Hal and I will be speaking at the Special Needs Homeschooling Conference put on by Florida Parent Educators Association. It's going to be in Orlando, and it's going to be what?
November, help me, 21st, 22nd, is that correct?
Or, yes, sounds right.
Or 2021st.
Okay.
Anyway.
Third weekend in November.
Third weekend in November.
See you guys there. Okay.
That's right. And so until next time, we want to thank you for joining Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
And we hope to see you again.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.